is Farhad Khosrokazaba. Farhad Khosrokazaba, can you speak about Arab Spring mobilizations? Please, Farhad.
Thank you very much.
Farhad has just finished a book on this mobilization.
I'm not sure as to whether I'd be able to give the gist of what I would have to say in 15 minutes that I tried. This is a kind of summary of my forthcoming book, which will be published in 2-3 weeks' time, you know, in the United States, Thailand publishers. And the title will be The Arab Revolutions That Shook the World. I've been working very hard on this topic because I was fascinated by this. And it was in contradiction to what was being said, you know, for more than a decade, that the Arabs were unable to do anything. The Arab street was always, you know, quiet, or when it moved, it was for bread, violence, and so on, and they could not shake the Arab dictatorships. So I'm going to focus in these few minutes on what might be called, you know, the new social actors, new and old, because you have never only new social actors within social movements, and human agency is structured in a very complex manner, so that the distinction is sometimes very difficult to make. What I mean by new social actors is not that they belong to the youth. Of course, most of them belong to the youth, but not necessarily. What I mean by new social actors means that those who were not active or not as active as they became through these Arab revolutions and made a breakthrough, not only by their action, but also by their connection with other groups. But by old social actors, I mean those who were active before the Arab revolutions. For instance, if you look at Tunisia, you had those working class people who were active in Gafsa and other parts of Tunisia, and who acted, you know, against the ruling regime, but for, you know, very limited, restricted, you know, motives, not in order to overthrow the regime. So what we see, for instance, in Tunisia is that we have the new social actors, the youth, related to human rights, doctors, and many other social groups. Of course, Facebook youth, internet youth, and so on, and working class people through UGTT, trade union, the major Tunisian trade union, which played a major role in its intermediary hierarchy, you know, when it came to mobilize people in small towns before spreading to the capital of Tunisia. In Egypt, too, you have this Facebook people, which were very important and became involved, of course, in the social movement. But you had some component of people from working class through a kind of small trade union, ETA, which was active, and then through what might be called the April 6th movement, that had some connection to the to the old working class structures. Another problem which arises when studying the social actors is the change within the framework of the movement, throughout the movement of these social actors. If we take, for instance, the Tunisian and the Egyptian revolutions, we see that at the beginning there were new groups who came, who put into question the leadership of the authoritarian regimes, but then once these regimes were overthrown, new types of actors appear that put into question the moral leadership of the first ones, and then sometimes become paramount. In Egypt, for instance, it's obvious the so-called Tahrir youth, who was very active, you know, in overthrowing the regime, was partially marginalized by the new alliance between what might be called Muslim Brotherhood, the military, and the Salafi, which is of course conflict-ridden, but still puts into question the aspirations, the demands, and the claims of the so-called Tahrir Youth. That means those groups which were the most active in putting into question the hegemony of the Egyptian autocracy and contributed in major ways in overthrowing it. Now we have new types of actors who appear, who marginalize in part, or sometimes even, I would say, in a new hegemonic way, the first social actors. So that the development, of the social movement and the political, the geostrategic reasons might put into question the first activities or the first social actors, the first human agents that promoted the revolution or social movement. The sort of change within the framework of the social movement has an influence in the structure of the human agency within these social movements. And we see it very well in Egypt, in a major way, I would say, in Syria. At the beginning, the movement was very peaceful. It became violent because of the repression by the Syrian regime. And now, of course, most of those, I would say, tenets of these civil movements has been put into question. That means non-violence. Of course, the movement has become violent, and nowadays the Free Syrian Army, the so-called Tansiriya, are becoming active because there is no other way to act against a cruel regime that kills people. Up to now, more than 6,000 people have been killed. So that the non-violence, which was one of the tenets of the movement, has been put into question. In the same fashion, the, I would say, the trans-ethnical dimension, the civil society dimension of the movement has been put into question as well because of the regime's repression, cruel repression against the new social actors. Now, having in mind the fact that when it comes to social movements, of course, the evolution of the movement is important, but also the geostrategic reasons. They are very important. Sociologists sometimes, you know, do not give enough weight to that for many reasons, because they are sociologists and not political scientists. But it's very important. If you look at Bahrain, the Bahrain movement for democracy has been repressed by, of course, the regime, but helped directly by Saudi Arabia. But America and the others did not act vigorously against that, because Bahrain is somehow, you know, the backyard of Saudi Arabia. And that's, of course, the Saudis are afraid that Bahrain, whose majority population is Shiite, once involved in that movement, might become a Shiite government and then influence the eastern side of Saudi Arabia, Batif, and the other parts where there is social protest. If you look at, I would say, Egypt, of course the military are becoming stronger and stronger, but one of the major reasons is, of course, Israel as well. I'm not saying that Israel is playing a major role, but the Americans are very much preoccupied with the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, and the military are becoming stronger and stronger because Saudi Arabia is helping them financially, and because Americans are doing whatever they can in order to preserve the peace treaty with Israel. So geostrategic reasons are very important in these movements. In Tunisia, the geostrategic reasons did not play at all, because Tunisia was far from all those geostrategic parts of the world, and so that they could act more or less autonomously. Now, who are the new social actors? I would like to just summarize some of them. It's very difficult, again, in a few minutes to do so, because it's much more complex than that. But let's say the first major social actors that are new in some sense, of course in some sense not entirely. You never have entirely new social actors unless there is something extraordinary happening in a society, but is what might be called human rights activists. If you look at the Islamist movements, human rights activists did not play any major role in them. On the contrary, they were targeted as being pro-Western people and rejected and sometimes, you know, even attacked physically by the Islamist, by the radical Islamist groups. Nowadays, we have almost everywhere in the Arab world these human rights activists who become involved, who do not necessarily defend a specific ideology. Some of them might be leftist, some of them might be rightist, some of them might be apolitical, but what they defend is human rights. And in that respect, they have been very, very, very efficient. In Bahrain, they have been very efficient. In other parts, in Syria, they have been efficient. In Egypt, in Tunisia, and elsewhere. So this new group is becoming more and more conscious of its own, you know, I would say, personality, identity, and they have been proliferating in all the Arab world, and even, I would say, in the Muslim world. And we have some data, and they show that there has been a huge increase in the numbers in this part of the world. There's another group that has been very important and has been acting at least in some of the countries like Syria, Bahrain, and a few others are what might be called the medical profession, doctors. They have been very important. They have not only been involved in, of course, giving care to those who had been wounded in the demonstrations, but as social actors, they became very important. And they had a kind of voice, moral voice, and some of them were killed, some of them were maimed, some of them were put in jail, like in Bahrain or in Syria, and they are becoming more and more active in their own field as doctors, but more than that, beyond that, as new moral actors. Another group of people who have been very important, of course, it's not new, are women. Women have been very important. Of course, if you look even at the Algerian Revolution in the 1960s, women were important. But they were important as, I would say, soldiers, as those who were below. Now what has been happening is that they have become somehow as leaders. If you take a country like Yemen, where, you know, it's one of the poorest countries in the Arab world, perhaps the poorest country in some, if you take the data so far available seriously, we have seen some women becoming prominent, not only as social actors, but as leaders. The one who won the Nobel Prize with two other African women, Karma, has been very active in Taiz and then in Sana'a, and she has been one of those who promoted the protest movement against Saleh presidency, and after his demise, after his resigning, against his being pardoned by the parliament. And in Egypt too, we have had women who became very deeply involved in the movement, and for the first time became somehow some kind of local leaders whose voice was heard not only as women, but partially at least as, I would say, quasi-equal to men. And that was very important as such. Although women movement within these Arab revolutions has been toned down for many reasons, but still we have some kind of new intervention. 1 minute? Okay.
2 minutes.
But I mean, if it seems to me that this Americanized system is good, but at the same time, you cannot have the time to develop ideas. I mean, so why not 5 minutes?
I was told half an hour. All hero.
No, I was told half an hour, and now we say about 15 minutes. Okay. So I finish by saying that the whole system, in terms of social actors related to the intellectuals, has been changed. We have new types of intellectuals. we know that the field of intellectuals in terms of their activities has been put into question by postmodern literature. But now we have a new type of intellectuals related to what might be called social movements. The field of intellectuals has been put into question through new communication systems, that means Twitter, Facebook, and so on. And second, by new social activists who have ideas, who bring them into the open, but who, in a way, make the specialized intellectuals, highbrow intellectuals of the 19th century or of the first part of the 20th century, obsolete. These new types of intellectuals are very important because I think we are facing a change within the definition of intellectuals. And these new social actors are, I would say, epitomizing the emergence of new type of intellectuals. One last word and then finish it. I think that one has to understand that these social movements have been revolutionary, not in the sense only that they overthrew autocratic governments, but because they gave birth to a new definition of what might be called citizenship as based on dignity, karama, in the Arab world, and I would say in the Muslim world too, in the Iranian Revolution, in the Iranian Green Movement in 2009, a year and a half before the revolution, we had this very same type of new dignity. I think in the Arab world, in the Palestinian, in the Egyptian, in Tunisia, and many other parts of the Arab world, we see the notion of the individual as marked by dignity, a new type of citizen, who does not have only to sacrifice his life for the community, but who has to be recognized in his own dignity. That means he has rights. And this notion of rights has become somehow rooted within the Arab world, within the societies in the Arab world, so that democracy is not anymore an imported notion, but has become autochthonous, has become something, you know, deeply rooted in the new subjectivity within the Arab world. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The change and development in Arab Spring, and now